Well, good morning again. It's good to see everyone here today. We need to be mindful, obviously, there's so many of our faith family that are traveling, and we're starting to get a number of shut-ins. So folks that are shut in, when you get an opportunity, if you want a note of encouragement, look on the back of your bulletin. Matter of fact, right now, would you go ahead and tear your Connect card off? That way I know it's in your hand and you have opportunity to do something with it. So everyone that's in attendance, guests and members alike, let's have a registration of your attendance today. Just tear that off, and that's what the noise is for. And then let us know if there's anything we can pray for you about, pray with you. If there's something coming up that we need to tackle together, we'll do it together because the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. And so y'all can pray for me today. I didn't bring my glasses up here today, so I might call on someone to read the scripture. I guess still got that small print Bible. Well, let's begin today. We're actually, as Chris mentioned, we're going into a little mini-series just here at Christmas. It's called It's a Wonderful Eternal Life. Y'all, how many of you guys have ever seen the movie? I know the young generation might not have seen it. Who's ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? Raise your hand. Who has never seen the movie? You don't know what I'm talking about. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. All right, this Christmas, you're going to have to actually pull out the somewhere oldies and find out a Christmas marathon somewhere and watch it. It's one of the oldies and goodies, I guess. And the whole idea of the movie is appreciation and love for life that God's given. So for us, this is what the spoof is on. It's a wonderful eternal life. And how many of you guys have ever read that story before? It's called the Bible, right? And it's here in John chapter 3. We're going to start. How better start about a Christmas series than to start into a Christmas series? Jesus himself talking about himself while he came. We know that we read the story of, and we'll be reading the stories of the wise men, we'll be reading the story of the shepherds, and we'll be reading the story of the angels. We'll be reading a lot of stories that are here in the scripture, but I thought Jesus, to start this off, this little mini-series, Jesus could speak for himself. And so we'll try to pull that away just a little bit. All right, let's go to John chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. Now, a little context, Jesus is talking to a ruler of the Jews, a man who is very well educated. This man would be, he's the ruler of the Jews. He's one of the top teachers, and he knows the first five books of the Bible. They would have to have them memorized, and plus other parts of the scripture. But this man was a very wise man. And we're going to see that no matter how educated you are, no matter how wise you think you are, you can still be faced with the truth of God's word and still walk away in unbelief. I'm going to show you that today from the Word of God. Actually, let me correct that. The Lord's going to show you that from His own Word this morning. As a matter of fact, let me correct that again. The Lord's going to tell you Himself from His Word that you can walk up to the truth, look it in the face, and walk away in unbelief. And that's a sad, sad commentary for so many of our lives today, so many of our friends and family's lives, even at Thanksgiving. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving meal together with family and friends, but we know that so many families today, we have this term dysfunctional. They don't want to be around each other. They don't want to talk with one another. We understand that. It's just how human nature is. Jesus understands that. He explains this in the scripture today. So let's look together, if you would, John chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. We're going to pick up right in the middle of the conversation. And if you have what's called a red letter edition Bible, that just means these words of Christ are written in red. They're not more important than the black letters. They're just letters to emphasize that Jesus is speaking because all of the Bible is extremely important. It is God's word. Let's read together. He says this. He's still speaking with Nicodemus. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Sounds like a conversation a parent has with their children, doesn't it? I told you not to do that. My grandson came down, and some of you might write me. I get emails or calls each week. My grandson was going to take a bath, and he wanted to turn the new shower head on. And I said, let me get the hot water started because we still got the old style. Thank you, Derek. We still got the old guys. And there's light. We still have the old handles. We're in an old house. And so I turned the hot water on. I said, don't touch it. It's hot. And Zeke, if you know Zeke, he says, no, it's not. So I grabbed him by the hand and stuck it under the spigot, and he goes, ouch! Why didn't you tell me it was hot? I was like, I just told you it was hot, and now you know that it's hot because you touched the truth, right? So this truth this morning, it's going to be hot. So when you read it, I'm just telling you ahead of time, it's from Christ. This is what changed my life. These are the words that changed everyone's life. And no, he didn't get any burns, and he didn't have second degree. I see some of your faces, some of your grandparents are like, I would never do that to my grandchild. We do. All right. I told him an earthly thing, and he would not believe it, so therefore I showed it to him. All right? Verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who comes, who came down from heaven, and italics is that is the Son of God, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And some translations you'll see, if you have a little side note, it'll say, Son of Man who is in heaven is not in there. Son of Man is there, but not in heaven. So if you don't let that stress you out completely, it's just that someone added that in, they believe, at a later date, but it stops at Son of Man in so many scriptures, all right? Depends on your translation that you have, if it's in there. This is the New King James Version. And as Moses, he switches gears and he goes back and takes the timeline back. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting or eternal life, same word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting or eternal life. There it is again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. God is not in the condemning business when it comes to offering you eternal life. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten, and he has a different title for himself here, Son of God. So what is it? Is he Son of Man or is he Son of God? The answer is yes. He was born of a virgin. He took on flesh, the Bible says. If we read, he was born, he was a man like you and I. He walked, or ladies, he was a human like you and I. He walked this earth for 33 years-ish that we believe. He walked this earth. He was fully man, yet he was fully God. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, I'll put it in your passage. It's in your notes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was and is forevermore God. He will always be. Let me do something and transition this over to the notes because I want you to see. And this is why you should have a bulletin each Sunday, because I try my best to give you something that you can go along this week with, that you can take to work or you can take home, and you can come back and ask me questions. And I really do appreciate return questions when I get them. So if anyone didn't have a bulletin, if you want one, raise your hand. Our ushers will pop up real quick and get you one. But it's important to put these notes down so that we can actually read together. Go to your notes if you would. And the sermon title is simply this: you really do have a choice to make. You and I really do have a choice to make. In the beginning of John 3, where Jesus, the divine teacher, and he was called Rabbi. That's what Nicodemus called him, Rabbi. And we know that he's from God, so therefore he's a divine rabbi, a divine teacher. That's what Nicodemus was proposing to him, and we know that to be true. Held a candid conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee and respected Jewish leader. In the encounter, y'all, we read the encounter. If you go back, ever read John 3, Jesus revealed the true conditions of salvation. By the way, there are true conditions for salvation. Did you know that? And this morning's Catalyst, if you went to Catalyst, it's called the terms and conditions of entering heaven, or heaven's terms and conditions. We're all going to buy stuff online. We're going to buy stuff somewhere where we have an agreement. We're going to download an app, and it says, do you agree to the Privacy Act? Check here. And it won't let you progress until you actually agree that to the terms and conditions of that app, of that whatever it might be. You agree and say, I agree. Most of us don't read it. We don't read the terms and conditions. We just kind of check it so we can keep moving because we know that's what we want. And then we find out, the app comes out of Pakistan somewhere and all of our information's gone. Heaven has terms and conditions. Jesus Christ has terms and conditions, and you will not violate his terms and conditions. If you violate his terms and conditions, he has a place called hell that is waiting for everyone who is in unbelief, and I'll show you that from his word. Let's continue back. Although Nicodemus was highly educated, he was the top. Jesus called him a ruler of the Jews. He was the top, highly educated in religious matters. He remained spiritually unaware of the deeper realities of God. He represents many today who possess head knowledge, but lack genuine heart faith in God. Jesus spoke truth, and Nicodemus, like all who encountered this and other scriptures, was faced with a choice: to believe, to follow Jesus, or to turn away in unbelief. Now, John 10, let's go over and look at John 10 just briefly for a second together, since I have glasses. Let's read it together. Now, John 10, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says this: the shepherd knows his sheep. He tells us about this just a few pages over. John 10, 24, when you're there, say amen. Well, there was a feast of dedication going on. And now verse 24, then the Jews surrounded Jesus and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Today, that's going around YouTube. Jesus never said he was God. Have y'all seen, if you watch any kind of social media, the Muslims, there's other people saying, Jesus never said he was God. They've never read the scriptures, all right? So here we go. Tell us plainly, if you're the Christ. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. Is that truth in the word of God? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not what? Believe, because you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Who can take a saved Christian from the hand of God? Can you lose your salvation? It's not possible. If you're of that persuasion, that theological persuasion that you believe you can lose your faith, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You've got the wrong faith. You've got the wrong God. You say, well, can I sin so much I can get out? What does he say? Nothing. And then Paul repeats it. I am persuaded in Romans 8, 35 through 39. He says, there's nothing can take me from the love of God. So those that are propagating that today, that you can lose your salvation, you need to be saved again next week. Oh, if you sin big, you're going to actually have to be saved again. It's not truth from the word of God. Everlasting life is what? Everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes, who puts their faith in action that he gives them and believes on the Son of God, on the Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. This is a truth we must hold on to, believe with all of our hearts, and obviously share with our ones we love. Let's continue back in John 10. He says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than how much? All, everyone, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are, what is he saying? He claimed that his Father was God the Father, and he said, I and the Father are one. Do we believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one God? Do we believe that? It's what the Scripture teaches us. It's called the Trinity. Is the word Trinity in the Bible? The answer is, it's not there. The idea of the Trinity is there, but neither is the word Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. There's a lot of words that we actually use that aren't in the Bible that we want to explain a category or something within Scripture. So, brothers and sisters, let me share with you today, when we look at this word and Jesus is talking clearly, he's very clearly identifying that he and the Father are one. Let's go back to notes, if you would. Look at your notes. Jesus assured Nicodemus, as well as all of us today, that if people will not believe when he speaks of earthly things, how will they believe when he reveals heavenly things? The answer is, they will not. By referring to himself as Son of Man, Jesus affirmed his eternal relationship with the Father and his divine authority to unveil the truths of God's kingdom. Now, we talked about John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was and is God. We're very clear. And then in verse John 1:14, it's very clear. He says very clearly, John writes, and we beheld him. We touched him. We walked with him. He was trying his best to explain to you and me and later readers, listen, he's real. He's real. We ate with him. He did miracles, and they attest to them. And even Nicodemus, the unbelieving, educated, highly spiritually religious man, says, we know that you're from God because of the attesting miracles that you're doing. Who was Nicodemus speaking for? He was speaking, he was a ruler, so therefore he had to have conversations with the Sanhedrin, some 72 men sitting in a room saying, what are we going to do with him? He says he's from God. What are we going to do with him? And there's people who didn't believe in the Sadducees. We talked about them. They don't believe in angels and spiritual things and everlasting life. So we joke around and say that's why they're sad, you see, right? Because they're Sadducees. And then the Pharisees, they believed in angels. They believed in eternal life. They were at each other like Democrats and Republicans going at it over Jesus. But they're still having a conversation about Jesus. Well, what about the blind man? What about the deaf man that he healed? What about the man he brought back to life? They're having the conversation and they're having a fight among themselves because they cannot deny the truths that are happening. Even when the man, obviously that was a blind that was healed, the interviews that happened, why was he blind? Why was he healed? The parents were interviewed. The lame that walked, they wanted to know, how did this happen? And they were so unbelieving, they said, he does this by the power of Satan. That's how he does it, Beelzebub. That's how he does this power. That's how he's doing these miraculous things. They gave credit to the devil for God's work. And yet they knew in their hearts when they sat down and talked about it, when Nicodemus, he lets the cat, proverbial cat out of the bag, when he says, we know that you're from God because of the miracles you're doing. It doesn't matter what we're saying in public. We're saying you're from the devil. We're saying you're a false prophet. But we know, look at John 3, the first part of it. We know that you're from God. And Jesus just told him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, that's where he got confused. Like, I'm an older man, how can I possibly go back to my mother's womb? And Jesus said, the flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. Guys, it's a supernatural event that's happening in our hearts and lives when we surrender our lives to Christ. How many of us thought when we first gave our life to Christ, it's too simple? That doesn't make any sense. How can a man who lived 2,000 years ago save me from my sins? I don't understand. That's not a bad place to be. But if you say, how can it be a man who died 2,000 years ago saved me from my sins? That's impossible. The difference between the two unbeliefs is I will not believe, and the other belief is I don't fully understand. Just like Mary, y'all remember when the angel came to Mary? You will give birth to a son. How can this be? She asked the question, how? I've never known a man. And he says, what does he say back to her? This is a supernatural act of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you, and you're going to bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That was told to Joseph, and also Mary understood that. Let's continue. Jesus pointed back to the Old Testament to reveal the hope of eternal life. He said that just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, referring to his crucifixion, so that whoever believes in him will have what? Eternal life. Those who trust in him will live beyond physical death and share in everlasting life. That's the truth. Have you ever seen many atheist hospitals in your life? Anybody ever seen an atheist hospital, atheist-started hospital? Okay, maybe one. All right, there's one. All right, but how many of you ever seen hospitals started by Christians or seen none of them? Even today, Samaritan's Purse doing mobile hospitals. For the most part, you won't see atheists going outside their comfort zone to help you in any kind of name. They have no name of God. They have no name of Christ. They have nothing. They believe in nothing, so therefore, it's the survival of the fittest, right? Help yourself. But have you ever been behind an ambulance, whether you like them or not, and get on the little badges, the little star, and there's a picture right there on the star? What is it? It's a snake on a pole. And other people, if you look up Google now is trying to erase true history, and it will say other false religions have this, but they cannot deny that Moses lifted up a snake, a serpent, on a pole. So when you ride by an ambulance, I told you, every time in our culture, we get hit in the face. In our national anthem, we celebrate God. In our rights, we say we have these unalienable rights given to us by whom? Our Creator. When an ambulance passes by, we have the serpent on a stick. Listen, every time you see a first responder, there's a serpent on the stick, usually on the back of that ambulance or on the side of that ambulance. And you see and go, have you ever looked at it and said, how weird is that? When you didn't know? Let's go back, if you would, with me to Numbers chapter 21. This is where the weird comes from. Numbers 21. This is one of the stories I told the Catalyst class this morning when I was a kid. I used to love this story. I was an unbelieving kid, but I did love the story. Because Jesus, we lived in the country, and snake bites, well, we didn't like them, but it was funny if somebody got bit by a non-venomous snake, because look what it did. It bit me. You ever seen somebody bit by a snake? A non-venomous snake? Venomous snake's a different game. Anybody? Y'all need to get out in the woods more, all right? And bee stings, y'all know I like to see people stung by bees, and I like to get stung by bees just for craziness, for fun. It makes you run faster, laugh louder, and adrenaline rush. So if you're allergic, don't hang out with me if there's a beehive. Dan saved my life. I am allergic to bee stings, by the way, just for the record, too. Makes it even more fun. You look at Numbers 21. This was something to me, it was funny as a kid. Wasn't funny at all because people died. So I take that, I want to be very serious there for a moment. But when the stories are like, this is unbelievable. When I would read this story, I'm like, I scratch my head and go, what is God's character like? I mean, is he God? I get some of my strangeness, I think, from God. Because watch what happens. Look what he says. Chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. We'll pick up in, they're coming off the mountain. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very, what does your Bible say? Discouraged, upset. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, saying, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? And the wilderness there, when I was a kid, I used to thought it was a bunch of trees like our wildernesses here. It's talking about the desert. The wilderness here is just all out desert. There's no water, nothing. Why have you brought us up out here to die in the desert? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes, we hate it. This worthless bread, this bread that God gave us, we hate it. We're sick of it. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever complained about something that you've been blessed with, whether it be your job, your family, whatever it might be? Has it, anyone, am I talking to anyone who understands me this morning? Raise your hand if you've ever complained about something that was good in your life. The blessing can be so much sometimes. You're like, and your car, remember when you first got that car? You're like, I love this car. Now you're like, raggedy old hoopty, I'm looking for something else, right? In your job, when you first started in your job, you're like, you're so excited. Man, this is the career path I've been wanting my whole life. You get a few years in, you get an awful supervisor, and you're like, I hate this job. I hate this. I can't stand it anymore. We're that way. That's our nature. So, listen, so is mankind from the beginning. Adam and Eve were in a perfect garden. God made them without sin, and they chose to sin. They had a choice to believe God or not believe God. We're all the same. I don't care if you go to China, any country in Africa. I don't care where you go around the world. You'll find people, kind people, nice people, but you'll find people in the same category. When you mention the name of Jesus Christ, they either amen you or they're ready to go to war with you. You mention God in general, they're good with that. But you mention the name of Jesus Christ, and they want to oppose you or they want to go with you. So here's what they did. These are people, they're griping and complaining. But remember this, they griped and complained against God first and then against Moses. Verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall what? Live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, what happened? He lived just as God said. But we were talking about this morning in the college class in the young pros. Most of us had hard-headed dads, don't we? And still today, who has a hard-headed dad? Who had a hard-headed dad? Hey, put your hand down, Bowen. Put your hand down. You imagine your dad getting bit by a poisonous snake? They're everywhere. Where'd they come from? The desert. They're twisting through the desert, just tearing people up and killing people. Dad, look, Moses said, if you just turn around and look at the serpent, Dad, just look over there and it'll go away. And poisonous snakes, I'm sure it was extremely painful. Screaming, maybe crying. I'm not looking anywhere. How stupid is that to look to a stupid snake on a stupid pole, right? I mean, he's at the maximum of discard of just, I will not believe. What happened to that father if he never turned around and looked at the pole? He died. But what would happen if just in his hard-heartedness he just had a moment where he just listened to someone who was trying to love them, care for him, and turned and looked? What would have happened? Based on Scripture, he would have lived. He would have been saved from that snake bite. And y'all, listen, the snake bite represents for us today the snake bite of sin, is it not? Everyone who looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, looks to that cross, everyone who believes the Lord Jesus Christ, just turn and look to the Savior and receive what he did for you and me. Jesus said just like that. And remember, Jesus is speaking. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. But he says just as Moses lifted up the serpent on that pole, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And when we look to him being lifted up, his death does not save you and me. His burial does not save you and me. It is his resurrection that saves you and me. It's the power of God in the gospel. Listen, where God raised him from the dead. Yes, he died for our sins. He took on our transgressions, the Bible says. Yes, he went to the grave with us. Yes, he was buried on the third day. The Bible says in Romans 10 that God raised him from the dead. It said, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. You shall live if you look to Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith. That's a promise from Jesus himself. Right there in the word, he says, look to me. Look to me. Just as Moses put up the snake on the pole, if they had looked to the pole, they were saved. If you look to me, receive me by faith, you'll be saved. How many people today, even ambulance drivers today, are riding around with a pole and the snake on the back of their ambulance saying, Jesus saves, and most of them don't believe, or a lot of them don't believe. People who rescue lives usually are trying to rescue and do good works to save themselves. And listen, no good deeds, whether you're in the military, first responder, whatever you are, no good deeds is going to get you into heaven. You don't get favor with God by doing good. No money that you give to charity is going to save you. Only looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, will we be saved. Every one of us, no matter rich or poor, young or old, no matter our socioeconomic status, where we come from, in the world, everyone has to come by the way of the cross. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's coming to the Father except through me. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we get? Life's still tough. Life's still real. But we get the Holy Spirit living in us. And day by day, we can celebrate. We can love the Lord Jesus Christ. When something awful happens, we can see that awful thing happen. And we can say, listen, God is good even all the time. It might be a struggle. Might be a heartache. I don't know what it's going to be for you, but listen, God is good absolutely all the time. John 17, can we go there just for a moment? Because we have a pair of glasses and a little extra time this morning. Look at the John 17, beginning of verse 1. And by the way, if you've never read John 17 all the way through, read what Jesus prayed about you. Your name, although not listed in John 17, your name is there in John 17 when Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for his disciples that were currently with him, and he prayed for all disciples to come. Your name is in John 17, just not written. John 17, beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life in a nutshell. That is the, listen, it's a wonderfully eternal or everlasting life. It's not some movie. This is eternal. Let me read again, verse 3. I have it circled in my Bible. And this is eternal life, comma, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. This is the Son of God, talking to God the Father. This is also Son of Man, talking to God the Father. Isn't it a beautiful picture of him understanding, being like you and me? We understand somewhat of humanity. What's humanity's desire over and over again? For the good or for evil? Let me switch to movies. You're correct. Look at movies. Most of them for the good or for the evil? Church, speak. Is it for good or for evil? Most of them. It's evil. It takes you somewhere you don't even want to go. We were flipped on Macy's Day Parade this week. My grandkids flipped it on. And they're watching, I don't know, half the characters, and it's, oh, that's the K-pop demon slayers. Hunters, demon hunters. K-pop demon. How many of y'all have ever heard of them? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of them. Keep your hand, keep it up. This is not embarrassing. I'm not going to embarrass you. All right, look around at all the kids. Look at all, how many adults know about it. Even the name, it's Korean girls band who battles against a Korean boys band, but all of them are demons, and they're demon hunters. And that's the number one show that kids are wanting to watch. Kids want to listen to the music because the music's pretty good. My whatever Zeke is, 4 year, he goes, oh, that's the K-pop Demon Hunters. That's awesome. I said, Alex, you let him watch this mess? He goes, no, kids at school talk about it. Listen, the promotion of I was listening to the public radio last night just a little bit, and they were talking about all the mystic and the witchcraft that was intertwined in today's music. They were celebrating it, that actually mysticism has gone by the wayside, and their goal, and you might even know some of the groups, the first singer off was Fleetwood Mac. They want to bring back some of this. I know some of you 70 hippies are like, what? It's just, I'll try to find the station and let you hear. It is surprising the words that they intertwine in their music. And there's a new genre that's coming on, bringing up elevating witchcraft, and people are okay with it because it's just good music, Pastor. Well, look at what Jesus says. I want you to go back to John 3. Let's finish this out so we can. John 3, there in verse, I stopped at verse 18 on purpose because the condemnation we want to talk about, let me go back to the scripture if I could in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Don't you want to know what it is? What brings condemnation? Jesus said first, I didn't come into this world to bring condemnation. I didn't come to bring judgment. I didn't come to condemn you. But this is the condemnation. This is the judgment. This is the verdict, your Bible might say. And listen, if you're not a Christian today, this is your verdict. Verse 19, and this is the verdict, that the light has come into the world, and men, women, boys, and girls love darkness rather than light because their deeds were what? Evil. We don't like to say the word evil anymore or the word wicked. The word wicked now, even Wizard of Oz, is good. Wicked, good, right? There's things that are wicked is being called good. Isaiah is very clear. Don't call good evil and evil good. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. When most things happen, it's usually hit and run. It's happened at night. But verse 21 is so important for us as believers. But he who does the truth comes to the light. That is, his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in who? In God. That's exactly right, in God. We'll go back to your notes. Let's finish up today. Jesus further explained that God so loved and valued the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in and trusts in him as Savior will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring judgment, the final judgment, but so that the world might be saved through him. Now we know the final judgment will rest on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Jesus and chooses to trust him as a personal Savior and Lord is not judged. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Don't you hate being judged about something that people don't know anything about? Maybe you like music. Maybe you like poetry. There's something that you like and people judge based on that. Because we judge on our prejudice, don't we? It's what we think, how we think, or how we act. But the one who does not believe, who has chosen to reject Jesus, is already under judgment, having condemned himself by refusing to believe in the name of the one and only Son of God, the unique and eternal Savior who alone can save. Of course, we need to go back to Revelation. How does it end? When's this coming and what's going to happen? Go with me to Revelation 21. This is our last passage of Scripture. We'll go to two different places there. But Revelation 21, 5 and 8. All of you go there if you would, even on your phones if you would for a moment. I think you should nail this down today. And you're there, say amen. I'm going to read verse 5. Revelation 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Who is this person speaking? It's the Lord. Here we go. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Isn't that a terrible, terrible, terrible thought? hold your place there, and let's go to your notes and finish up. The Bible is very clear. Jesus himself is very clear. Everyone who loves practicing evil hates the light, and because of their unbelief, refuses to believe in the name of Jesus for salvation. That person, go back to Revelation there, if you would, 21, very end, 22 through 27. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. This is the picture of heaven. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those, and it's qualified, not the nations of people, it's the nations of those who are saved through salvation in Christ alone, shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by the day. There shall not be night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those things, only those who are written. What does your Bible say? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it a real book in heaven? As best I know, God, he's been writing since the beginning, has he not? He's inscribed with finger during Daniel's time. He wrote the Ten Commandments with stone. God is a God who writes. And, of course, he's given us this library that we have 66 books, his special word, saying it is his God-breathed word. God writes love letters all the time. He was writing them for years and years, and today you and I have the benefit of receiving those love letters from the Word and saying, listen, Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. Little ones belong to him, right? They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How? How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. And so when we read the Word of God, we start getting a bigger and bigger and bigger picture of God. But friends, listen, let me encourage you. You can read the whole Bible from the beginning of who printed it all the way through the maps. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never understand the Bible. God said he won't give the supernatural to the natural. He's not going to let you have it. Doesn't matter what abilities, how big a scholar you are, how much you know from history, archaeology. If you don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, you will not have access to have understanding, full understanding of the Word of God. Yes, the historical stuff you can verify. Yes, the archaeological stuff you can verify. But you will not know Jesus in the very intimate way he wants you to know him, to know you and you to know him, if you don't give and surrender your life to him fully. It's a beautiful picture. Well, why is it so hard? Don't you wish you could just force people to become Christians? That crazy daughter you have, that crazy son, crazy mom, dad, aunt, uncle, you just wish you could just shake them and just kind of pour in something that makes them go, wow, Jesus is awesome. Anybody ever felt like that? Raise your hand if you ever felt like you just, if I could just force it, I'd do it, right? The rest of y'all need to get ready to force it, all right? Listen, is this not the best news ever? What did you get for Christmas last Christmas? Anybody remember? This Christmas is going to be fun, sharing presents. But listen, what is the greatest gift you've ever received? The greatest gift, if you're true about it, the greatest gift you've ever received is everlasting life. Okay? Then what's the best gift to give away? The greatest gift to ever give away is the truth of the knowledge of eternal life. This is how you receive Jesus Christ. Jesus made it so simple. He said, this is eternal life. And then he explains it to us. So today, let me share with you. You have a choice. You can walk in the light or you can stay in darkness. He said, well, we don't like to use the word evil anymore. It's because we're trying to make evil good in our culture. Satan is wanting to be worshipped. And listen, we're doing a pretty good job of supporting his efforts, are we not, as a society? So let me challenge you today. It is a wonderful eternal life. And listen, I have my ticket. I told you a couple weeks ago, my spot around the throne, wherever that is, I got a C35. I got whatever, my ticket's punched. I've got a place around the throne. I've got a number in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm absolutely guaranteed of it because what can take Clint Smith out of the hand of God if I've surrendered my life to Christ? Nothing based on what Jesus said, and nothing based on what God said, nothing based on what the Apostle Paul says through God's breathing. My place is sufficiently sealed. Now, I'm not living for heaven because I'm done with that, right? I can't fix heaven. I can't fully describe heaven. I just know I'm going to heaven. My place is reserved. But what do I do in the meantime? We preach, we baptize, we teach, and we always remember Christ is with us until the end of the age. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Praise God. Amen. God is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what a wonderful message you have for us limited, finite beings to message our friends and via text or emails or just sharing over coffee of the love of Christ. Lord, you changed our lives, those of us that have been saved. And Lord, we can attest, we were there. We were BC before Christ. And we were lost, Lord, and we liked the evil things, the dark things. But Lord, you pricked our hearts through our consciences, through the Holy Spirit, through the witness of other Christians, through the witness of the Word of God, and through the witness of the Holy Spirit. We saw the things that we wanted to, Lord, to have happen in our life. And Lord, we surrendered that one time when you called us, we said yes. So many times we said no, but Lord, that one time we said yes. And Lord, I can stand and attest today. I thank you that you called me and gave me the opportunity to believe on you, Father, on the Son, and understanding the Holy Spirit as best we can through your word. Thank you, God, for salvation from my personal heart. I love you, and I thank you for today. But Lord, I pray for anyone who came in this place today or might be watching via social media that they would surrender their life, understanding, yes, it's complicated to grasp if we're trying to think it through, but Lord, it's not a thought process. It is a understanding it and believing it with a heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Help them, Lord, in their unbelief. Help us in our belief that we would be ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, continually be ambassadors of reconciliation of people to God, God to people, through the Word of God. We bless your name today. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.